Hey there, welcome to the Student to CEO podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Mason. We're talking to entrepreneurs who launched their business at a young age and they're now killing the game. Tune in to our episodes as these guests spill the dirt on taking that leap into entrepreneurship just like they did. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of the Student to CEO podcast. I'm thrilled to have Mark Andre joining us today. Mark has been working as a blogger and internet marketer since 2008. He's built and sold successful online businesses in various industries while being featured in publications like Forbes and Business Insider. Currently, Mark runs the personal finance blog Vital Dollar, where he writes about topics related to saving money, managing money, and making money. Mark, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Ashley. I appreciate it.
Awesome. I'd love if you could start off by sharing with our listeners what you do and what led you there.
So as you mentioned, I've been blogging and doing internet marketing, running my own websites for, I guess it's a little over 11 years full-time now. I started part-time in 2007 and left my job about a year and a half later in late 2008. And I've had several different websites over the years. My first one was a web design blog, and I managed that until about 2013, and then I sold it. And after that, I had a few different photography-related websites that I managed for a while, and I've sold those in two different parts. I sold the first part in 2016, and then I sold another site in 2018. And I started Vital Dollar in 2018, in early 2018, and so it's a little over 2 years, about 2.5 years old now at this point. So I've had several different websites. Also had an Amazon FBA business with my wife for a few years. So it's been kind of several different things over the years.
Awesome. And what made you want to start something like Vital Dollar?
I had been interested in personal finance for a while. And, you know, I think it was just, you know, trying to learn more about myself to be able to manage my own money better and to be able to do better with investing and stuff. So I've always had an interest in it. And then obviously I've also, you know, been doing a lot of different side hustles and ways to make money online and stuff over the years. And I started seeing more finance blogs covering some of the topics that I'm familiar with, like blogging and side hustles and Amazon and things. And so I thought, you know, maybe I can start my own blog and kind of cover the finance topics that I've wanted to in the past, and also mix that in with some of the things that I have experience with now at this point. And so really it was just that interest, as well as a combination of when I sold my photography blogs and I finally had time. I had been wanting to do the finance blog for a while, but I just didn't have time with the other sites I'd been running. And so once I no longer had them to worry about, then I had the time finally to get started.
That's amazing. And so what allows you to actually be able to monetize your blog from there? Because I know that there's many people, myself included, I actually had a blog a while ago in 2012, which was what led me to starting my marketing firm. But many people are interested in starting a blog and then eventually monetizing it. What was your process like for that?
Early on, like with my first blog, when I very first started, my plan was to use the blog to try to get client work. So I mentioned that my first blog was a web design blog. And my goal really with the blog at first was just to get traffic and try to get people on the site and then get people to hire me to design their website, like for small businesses and stuff. And so I worked on the blog to, you know, to grow traffic to the site, and it worked. And I did start to get some clients. But I found out that I really enjoyed working on the blog a lot more than I did the client work. And so I kind of decided to change my focus with the blog. And instead of really pursuing very much client work, I started to make money other ways with the site. So I put ads on the blog, and later on I started doing more with affiliate marketing, and then later on doing more with selling digital products. I sold like some downloadable products to web designers, things that you would use in Photoshop, different templates and icons and stuff like that. So really, like I said, initially my plan was just to use it to try to offer a service, but then it kind of changed and I kind of just pursued the things that interested me a little bit more.
Yeah, definitely. One thing that I want to point out that you mentioned specifically was finding ways to drive traffic to your blog. And no matter what kind of business you're in, being able to drive people to your website is so important for not only getting more awareness, but also getting the potential of gaining more clients and customers. So what did you find worked out well for driving traffic to your blog that was full of quality leads?
Early on, the biggest thing for me was social media. But to be honest, that was in 2007, and the social media sites that I was using in 2007 aren't significant anymore. I was using StumbleUpon, Dig.com, Delicious, sites that either aren't around or aren't significant. So it is a little bit different. Obviously, there are other social networks that people can use today, like Facebook and Instagram and Pinterest and others. But so early on, it really was social media. And then I started to, to get some subscribers and regular readers. And then it kind of built up from there. And obviously then, later on, as the blog aged a little bit, the search engine traffic got a lot more significant.
That's awesome. And so after starting your few different businesses and blogs, what was the most difficult part of doing that while younger?
The hardest thing, I think, early on was doing it on the side while having a full-time job. So I was working a normal 40-hour-a-week job. I had just gotten married, and my wife had a full-time job too. And then, you know, I would come home and have dinner, and then I would sit down and work on my blog for a few hours. And I'd work, you know, pretty late into the night and then get up and go do it all over again the next day. And I was obviously really motivated because I wanted to get out of my full-time job, so that in some ways it wasn't that difficult, because I wanted to do it, but it did require a lot of discipline because especially being, you know, married for like 1 year, it was a pretty big sacrifice for both of us to give up that time together and, you know, to sacrifice our evenings in order for me to be able to pursue my business. So I would say the hardest thing was just like, you know, dedicating the time that I needed to it.
Yeah, definitely. And that's something that a lot of other people struggle with too, is just being able to focus on building a business while also managing all of your other responsibilities. So what did you find worked well with you in terms of time management and being able to juggle so many different things at once?
The main thing was I basically set hours for myself, like kind of like if I had a part-time job. So I think a lot of people who have a blog or like an online side hustle, you know, if they have a full-time job, they tend to just kind of work on things when they feel like it, which a lot of times you don't feel like it. So you wind up not working on it, or, you know, you wind up scheduling other things and, you just don't have as much time. So I basically would set aside the evenings during the week and a little bit of time on the weekends, or more than a little bit, most of the day, Saturday to work. And that was basically like my working time. Like I didn't schedule other things unless it was, you know, something really important. But I didn't, you know, I had a friend say, you know, can you come over and hang out? Like I didn't do it because I had that time blocked off to work on my site. So I think definitely setting aside the time was big, because then when that time came, I knew it was time for me to work. And so it wasn't like, oh, I just feel like sitting and watching a movie with my wife or doing whatever. So I basically approached it like it was a job and had a set schedule. The other thing that I've found, and I kind of had to learn this the hard way a little bit at first, is that for me, it really works to have a specific to-do list with like my most important and most urgent tasks. Because if I just, you know, sit down to work and I start working on whatever I think about or whatever I feel like it, I wind up working on things that really aren't that important. And, you know, I may be working, but I'm not really as productive as I should be. And so for me, it really helps to have a specific to-do list. I use a to-do list for the week and then I break it down for each day. And that way, you know, at any point in the day, I'm working on something that actually matters, something that I know is useful. Because when I first started, I found that, like, you know, I spent all this time and then I'd look back and I'd say, oh, I didn't really accomplish very much that means anything, but I was working. So for me, the to-do list really helps.
Yeah, definitely. And since you had started this in 2007 and then took it full time in 2008, what was that kind of like shifting point that made you realize I can actually take this full time? Because that's something that a lot of people also wonder about too, is that what makes it able for them to be able to take something that's just more of like a side hustle or a side gig to actually become their full-time gig?
Yeah, I think I realized pretty much as soon as I started, really even before I made any money, that it was something that had potential to be full-time. And it was really kind of just seeing what other people were doing and knowing that I thought I could do it too. So really before I started making money, I had my eyes on, you know, doing it full-time. And that's one of the reasons why it wasn't so hard for me to be dedicated to it, and why I was able to stick with it. It was because I had that goal the whole time. But then as it got closer, like, it was difficult to know exactly when, you know, when to quit my job and make that jump. And the context of the situation made it a little bit harder too, because in 2008, the economy was not very good. Earlier in the year, my company had laid off, I think it was a little more than 25% of the employees in the company. And I was fortunate that I didn't lose my job at that point. But then about 6 months later, when I did leave my job, I was concerned because, you know, if I left my job and things didn't work out, there was no guarantee that I could go back and find a job very easily.
Right.
A lot of my friends that had been laid off 6 months earlier were still out of work. And so I really wanted to be careful, like, not to do anything stupid and to make sure that I was ready for it, because, you know, I didn't know what the situation would hold otherwise. So it was a little bit challenging. I didn't get to the point where I completely replaced my full-time income with my side hustle. But again, I wasn't working 40 hours a week yet at that point either. But I got to the point where I was close enough that I thought, as soon as I quit, I'll be able to dedicate more time and I'll be able to replace my income. And that's exactly what happened. So, like, my first month that I was full time, I made more than I would have at my job, and it continued that way every month the whole first year. I didn't have any problems with it. So, like I said, a lot of people want to completely replace their income, and it would have been nice if I had completely replaced my income before I quit. But I got to the point where I pretty much had things lined up, and I thought there was a really good chance that I was going to be able to do it.
I think you're absolutely right, because it's almost like a double-edged sword where it's like people feel like they have to replace what their current salary is in order to be able to now take their business full time. But you can't necessarily reach that threshold, at least in most times, if you have to spend 40 or so hours per week on a full-time job or something else. It's like you need to build up your business and be able to get that income to take it full time. But then yet again, your job is holding you back from being able to hold it up. So it's kind of like you just need to take the leap and do it, and then it will happen, just like it did in your case.
Yeah, I think, you know, everybody's situation is different, but it gets to a point where if you're at like 80% of your income and you still have a 40 hour a week job, when you have those extra 40 hours to work on your business, your income is most likely going to go up. So, you know, it's tough. It's not ideal, like you would like to be able to replace it, but depending on, especially if you're doing like a service related business where your income is really tied to the number of hours that you're putting in, there's just so much you can do on the side.
Yes, definitely. And so now, knowing that your most difficult part of starting a business was just kind of really needing to find that time, what would you say on the opposite end was the most rewarding?
The most rewarding was when I was able to leave my job, because, you know, I'd been working for a year and a half, like pretty much every evening, every weekend, and, you know, obviously making some sacrifices there. And so then when I was able to leave my job and work on my own, work from home, it was definitely rewarding. It felt really good. And, you know, there were a lot of times where I would, you know, think about what I was doing and, like, you know, the fact that I'm not sitting in a cubicle surrounded by, you know, my coworkers. And it wasn't that I didn't like my coworkers, but, you know, it was just the freedom, the flexibility was definitely really nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And so kind of following that, what do you think led to your success of you being able to take this from just a part-time gig to a full-time one?
I think the biggest thing was just consistent effort. Like, I've seen a lot of people start blogs or online businesses, and you know, most people don't have success with it. But I think most people, the biggest problem is people give up too soon. You know, I think a lot of people start a blog and think, well, it sounds easy. And it does sound easy, but it's really not. And you know, you have to have patience. You have to be willing to put in a lot of work up front before you start to make money with most types of online businesses. And blogging is definitely one of those. Like, you can't start a blog today and expect that you're going to make money real quick. It takes time and patience. You have to build up your audience, build up your traffic, and then it'll pay off later. But most people don't have the patience to get to that point where it does start to pay off. You know, I think a lot of people start off with unrealistic expectations, and then, you know, they get frustrated because things aren't happening as quickly as they thought. Even if they're on the right path, they don't necessarily know it because they thought the path was going to be easier. And then, you know, they wind up getting discouraged and quitting. So I think for me, the biggest key was just sticking with it. The first 6 months, I really didn't make a lot of money. I made a little bit, but I was working probably about 30 hours a week on top of my full-time job for like 6 months before I really started to make, you know, even just a few hundred dollars a month. So, you know, most people would have given up at that point. I was seeing growth, and so I knew that the money would come if I could stick with it. I wasn't necessarily concerned with making money today. I knew that, you know, if I was patient and I kept putting in the work, that it would pay off later. But unfortunately, I think a lot of people just start with unrealistic expectations, and that leads them to disappointment.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Especially because, I mean, from me, as I just mentioned earlier, that I got into marketing because of the blog that I started. I think a lot of people look at blogging specifically and being like, oh, well, it's just writing posts. Anyone can do that. And then that's where it comes in, where they kind of have those unrealistic expectations of thinking that just anyone can start a blog and be able to monetize it and things like that. But you really hit the nail on the head by saying that it's so important to focus on that consistency and understanding that results won't happen immediately, but they will happen if you keep putting in the work. So Mark, if there was one thing you wish you did differently, or one thing you know now that you wish you knew then, what would it be and why?
I think the one thing, like within my first couple of years of blogging, that I would have done differently is I would have pursued more streams of income when I first left my job, my income was from the blog, was mostly from ads. I was almost all from ads from the blog. And I also did some service work. I mentioned that I did a little bit of web design. I also did some freelance writing. But from the actual income that was coming from directly from my blog, it was almost all ad revenue. So I had banner ads on the blog. And the blog had really good traffic, so I was able to make some decent money with ads. And then after I left my job, the ad revenue accounted for the majority of my income for another year or two. And then after that, I branched out and started doing more with, I think I mentioned earlier, selling some digital products and also affiliate marketing. And so once I pursued those other streams of revenue, my income really increased, and actually my traffic decreased. I got hit in there somewhere with a Google algorithm update that caused my search engine traffic to drop by like 20% or something. But despite the drop, my revenue and my profit didn't decrease because I had expanded and added other types of income. So I really wish I would have pursued that earlier, because I missed out on a good bit of income for like 2 years by not really pursuing much other than ads.
I think that's great advice, to kind of follow that whole notion of not putting all of your eggs in one basket and being able to really diversify your efforts. So with that being said, though, I think what happens with a lot of entrepreneurs is that they sometimes face shiny object syndrome, where they just have all these different ideas and then therefore want to start adding multiple new services and products just because it sounds like a good idea. But what would you say is really the best approach to take when it comes time to knowing which thing is the right one to offer that will end up bringing you money?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say. I think for me, like, I always have a kind of a vision for the site as far as like when I start a new site, I have an idea of what I want to do to make money. I may not have, you know, exact specific plans. Like I may know that I want to use affiliate marketing. I may not have exactly all the affiliate programs that I want to join or all the products or services that I want to promote in mind. I may know that I want to sell digital products. I may have some idea of the products, but that's going to change over time. But I definitely try to have an idea of something before I start, because I don't want to start and get into something and then think like there's really no way to monetize this. I've got traffic, but what do I do to make money? So I think it's important to have kind of a plan. And I think it's good to also think about, you know, what you want the site to be and what your long-term plans are, because different monetization methods for a website can impact a lot of things, and a lot of things can impact your monetization method. Like, for example, offering a service, I think, is a really good way to monetize a website, but not everyone wants to do something service related. Like I mentioned that early on, I realized I didn't really enjoy the client work that I was doing on web design. So I kind of shifted and did something else. So I think it's a good idea to have, you know, to have a picture of what you want the site and what you want the business to be, because that's going to impact the way that you try to monetize it. And also, I think one thing that I found through my own experience, because I've sold a few different websites, that's one thing I tend to keep in mind when I'm looking at, you know, at the early stages of starting something, because depending on how you go about monetizing a blog may make it more difficult or easier to sell. Like, for example, you know, if you have ad revenue or affiliate revenue, that's probably going to be pretty easy for a new owner, for somebody who buys the site. They can transition pretty easily. Obviously, with ads, all they have to do is keep the ads on the site and keep the traffic coming, and they're going to make money. If you have a product that's really personalized to you, it can help you make money. But if your goal is to sell the site, it might be difficult, because, like, say, for example, you have a course that you're teaching about, you know, something that you're an expert in. It may be a great way to monetize the site, but when it comes time to sell, somebody else might look at it and say, I don't really have that expertise. I don't really know how would I manage this on my own after that person is gone. And so I tend to think about those things as well. And again, that's not to say that you shouldn't pursue a monetization method that's, you know, specific to you and something that would be difficult to transition to another person. But if your goal is to sell the site, it is something that you should keep in mind, because it can make things a little bit more difficult down the road.
Right. It's kind of like the idea of thinking of your 5-year plan and then reverse engineering it. So thinking what you need to do to get to that 5-year plan. So like you said, if the whole goal is to sell the website in the future, then kind of taking that idea and being able to break it down on what you would need to do and set up in order for that to happen.
Exactly. I think you answered the question better than I did.
That's all right. You basically said it. I just kind of summarized it. So Mark, why do you think it's so important for individuals to start a business at a young age specifically?
I think, you know, when you're young, you have a lot of time in front of you. I started my business in my 20s, and I wish I would have started it right out of college. But you know, I didn't have any kids when I started, and now I do. I have 2 kids, and it's, you know, it's given me so much flexibility. I definitely still work full-time hours, but I have the flexibility to work the hours that I choose and to make them fit around my family schedule. And that's really been big for our family, to, you know, to have that flexibility. So I think, you know, as a young person, you really have your whole life in front of you. So if you're able to gain that flexibility now, there's really, you know, so much more that you can do. If you wait until, you know, till later on in your life, you're going to miss some of those opportunities. Like I look at some of my friends, and I have more time with my kids than pretty much any of my friends do with their kids. And, you know, that's something that I'm grateful for because of what I'm able to do for a living.
Yeah, and having that freedom and flexibility to be able to make those changes and not have to ask someone else for permission to kind of shift things around is huge. And just being able to do what works for your life and your needs and just make those choices moving forward.
Definitely.
So Mark, what is the last piece of advice that you'd like to leave with our listeners for someone who may just be starting?
I would say you need to find what really interests you and what motivates you. Like, I've started a few different projects over the years, different websites and stuff. And the things that have been successful are the things that really interest me, things that I want to work on. The things that haven't been successful, for the most part, have been things that, you know, I thought maybe I could make some money, but I started it and I didn't really enjoy it. And so I kind of didn't want to dedicate much time to it because it wasn't fun. So I would really encourage people to find what motivates them and what their interests are, and then find a way to, you know, turn that into a business and make money from it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's kind of like finding something that you're passionate about and then finding a way to monetize it. And that's when you'll really feel motivated and inspired to move forward. Well, Mark, this has been an awesome episode, and I know it's so full of chalk great advice for people who are looking to start a blog and find a way to monetize it. And so now I'd love if you can share with our listeners where they can find you online, so that way if they'd like to connect with you further, they can.
Sure. My website is vitaldollar.com, and if anyone is looking to get in touch with me, if you go to the contact page, any emails that you send there will come directly to me, and that's usually the best way to reach me.
Perfect. And I'll put those links in the show notes as well, so that way if people miss them, they can click through and then get in touch with you from there. But Mark, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for listening today. I'd love it if you could subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with those who could use it most. For show notes and more information, go to studenttoceo.com/podcast.